I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 440. I was too busy playing it to write about it. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
That's good. That's that shit. I'm doing great.
I can tell.
Well, I'm mostly doing great. I'm in a much better place right now. I was kind of shitty over the weekend. I had a great week last week. Then I had a shitty weekend. And now it's less shitty.
I like less shitty.
Yeah, less shitty is better. Less shitty is better. Because E3 was amazeballs, guys. And just in case you haven't figured it out, this is our post-E3 rap show. We are going to be talking about gaming.
Games.
We're going to talk a little bit about gaming. And then we're probably going to talk about games. Not going to lie. That's pretty much what's on deck for this podcast. So if none of that interests you,
then you have come to the wrong podcast.
This is not the show to be listening to right now. But let's dive in because we got a bunch to talk about. Oh my god, games. So first and foremost, I want to start with the media briefings. Because that's what kicked everything off.
So yeah, how about we talk about them in order too, just so people get a feel for
how
the hype began to really kind of build later on in day zero.
Yeah, that made sense. So in day zero, Bethesda kicked everything off. And we were wondering like how Bethesda thing was going to go, because this is the first time that Bethesda has even had a media briefing before the show. And basically a big chunk of their lineup was announced or leaked out accidentally before their briefing even took off. So we even wondered last week, like, what else could they possibly have to talk about? Well, they had a bunch to talk about. And I have to say, like, as far as, like, the most momentum and most energy of a media briefing from the show, from the days before the show officially kicked off on Tuesday, Bethesda had the most energy overall. Like, from beginning to end.
I think for me, the energy from Bethesda was totally, like, they seemed like they didn't take themselves super, super seriously. Like, other presses will kind of come off a little bit more rigid, because you can definitely tell you're listening to higher-ups on the food chain talking about stuff that we've been sitting on in anticipation forever.
You know when people are badly reading from teleprompters.
And then when people are just talking to you from a very real place.
Yes.
I feel like Bethesda was just like, look, you know what we do. So we're not going to be like, oh, well, we did this. You already know. So let's just get to what you have all been. Like, they wasted no time making sure everyone was comfortable and ready to experience what Bethesda had to show. And what a way to start off the week.
Yeah, they did. So, you know, we knew Doom. We knew Fallout 4.
Well, we knew Fallout 4.
We knew Doom. And they announced Doom last year.
I know, but they were dangling it. Then they opened up that whole beta list that people have been sitting on all year, and then nothing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, by the way, oh, yeah, there was that one thing that, you know, we kind of promised we'd talk about. Oh, yeah, Doom. Like talk about carrot on a stick. And they had everybody on their tiptoes trying to bite it.
And it looked great. Like, totally, totally made sense why they were waiting so long. I mean, we've said it before. If your game's not ready, don't rush it. And so I think that's what happened, is that they went back and they retooled, and that's why people sat on that beta list for a while. But man, oh man, I bet you that every single one of those people is very happy that they're on that list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that does carry over. So, Doom ran phenomenal, looked amazeballs. Obviously, Fallout 4, just the progression engine in that thing, and how there are going to be people that are going to spend over 120 hours in the game without even actually progressing down the story between the crafting stuff that's there and all the areas you can explore, because that world is ridiculously large. Not to mention, you know, the Pip-Boy Collector's Edition, which hurt me so much that I was on budget restriction because of all the Collector's Editions, and as Panda, you know, I have quite the few Collector Editions mm-hmm. of games, that Pip-Boy that you could slip your smart device into and it be a functional Pip-Boy that relates back to the game and also let you play some of the Pip games that they've created for the thing. Ridic! I need it in my life!
Whoa, calm it down. All people are going to hear is dick in your life. Dick in your life. They're going to cut the ring.
No, that's not what I said. You know, and then Fallout Shelter. Let me talk to you for a moment about how that's the new crack.
Okay, please
do. Because Fallout Shelter is, in fact, the new crack. I wrote a piece about it on the website, but I downloaded it as soon as the briefing was over on my iPad and started up because Shelter sounds like the type of game that I love to play when I'm traveling, which is, for the most part, a sim game, but it is a management sim game. So Tamagotchi taken to the nth degree. So you basically, on your mobile device, whether that's a smartphone or a tablet, because it will be coming to Android, it's just coming to Android devices later, launched on iOS devices. But basically, you have a vault, and you actually can have up to 3 vaults that you manage, and you have various types of rooms that you can put in your vault for a cost that you, in-game currency, in this case, it's Fallout, so caps. And you have the different types of rooms that all create different types of resources. Your main resources are very much like Sims: food, energy, and water. So you have to keep up enough food, energy, and water for all the rooms that you build. And then as you get more dwellers in your vault, you can have more rooms available to you to build. So you can have rooms that, when you put people in them, build their different stats. So you can build charisma, you can build luck, you can build agility, you can build perception, strength, intellect, and a couple of other things. And you want to keep your settlers happy by putting those settlers, the dwellers, into rooms where their highest stat is the stat the room requires. So, for instance, a med bay requires a lot of intelligence. So if you have people that are high in intelligence, you want to put them there because they'll be happy to work in that room. Versus if you take somebody that has high intelligence and puts them in a room that requires high strength and they don't have high strength, they're going to be miserable and their sadness is going to raise, and so it'll drop the overall happiness level of your overall vault. And so if people get too unhappy, they don't have enough resources, they'll die, get radiated, or just up and fucking leave. So you gotta keep everybody happy. You gotta watch everyone's stats. You can unlock as you achieve different objectives, which are basically achievements, that pop up, and they vary from day to day. So sometimes you'll have a challenge that wants you to, over the course of your gameplay, very quickly build up 50 deposits of water or 25 deposits of food. And you can either get rewarded if you meet that challenge with caps, with gear that you can outfit people, and gear have buffs for different stats, or even weapons, because raiders do come from the wasteland and try to attack your vault. And so you need to have weapons for people in your vault to attack those people and keep them from basically going room to room, destroying all your people and wiping out your vault. So there's a lot of tactics involved in it, but it is like legitimately crack, because you can also, like they showed in the briefing, get your people to hook up. If you can pull them out of rooms for long enough for them to hang out in some living quarters, because that's where the magic happens, they can shack up and you can get women pregnant, and that's another way that you can get new dwellers. So you got to have people with pretty decent charisma in a room for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you'll get focused in on the room real quick, and you'll see a little Pip-Boy pop up for a second giving you the thumbs up, and that'll let you know that they've run to the back room. And you see little happiness floaters pop out, and then the guy usually comes running out first, surprise, surprise, with a big smile on his face, and then the woman that you had in the room slowly walks out, fully impregnated in a yellow shirt. So while women are pregnant, they can't be enforcers of any kind. They can still work in a room with their specialty, but if there are any dangers that pop up, or if there are any raiders that come, they will run and hide. So any weapons that they have, you don't have access to, and they don't have their buffs from any gear that you put on them. So you always have to watch how many people you have pregnant at a time, because they don't just insta-pop those babies.
Right, of course. They have to, like, stay in there and permeate and stuff.
Yes, yes. So even though they pop up and they look like they're going to drop any day by how pregnant they look, they don't actually. My first playthrough, I ended up, as soon as I realized, I can just make new settlers to get the new rooms unlocked, because I really wanted a room to train strength, because a lot of the people in my vault didn't have high strength, and you need strength, one, to defeat raiders, and two, to build energy, because high strength people do great jobs in your energy rooms. So I'm like, I need to build more strength. So I basically got my entire female population all at once pregnant at the same time.
Whoops.
And that took a lot, because you can't commit incest. It won't let you, which is a good thing.
Well, that's very good.
And it took me a little bit to realize this, because I put two people in a room and I'm like, why aren't they even talking to each other? They both look in the same direction. And then I realized, because they both have the same name, and I'm like, oh, because that's your mom. All right, let me take you out of this room, Marcus. And we'll put you back down here. And we'll bring somebody else up. And so when you mate people, when a baby is finally born, you get a big announcement, and it has their last name, and you get to name them their first name. And so it pre-generates a first name, and if you don't like that, you can change it, but otherwise you can go with it. But it took me forever, and I almost lost my vault, because I got my entire female population knocked up, which at the time was like 10 women.
Wow, that's a lot.
At the same time. Because I was like, I need a population bloom really quickly, because I don't have enough people to work my energy room. So I got them all knocked up, and then raiders came, and I only had six guys that actually had weapons, because most of my women were the ones who I had armed up first. And I was like, oh no, the raiders are going to take my vault. But luckily, one of my guys hung out and repelled them. And so now I just keep digging deeper. You've got to build ways for people to move around the vault. So it's not just room, 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 but you actually get to strategically place rooms.
Oh, okay. Around. I can see how this could be very addicting.
It's very addicting, because you always need to have elevators, and you basically want to have elevators at least at the beginning and the end of a floor, if not at the beginning, middle, and end of a floor, which limits which rooms you can have at any point in time that can grow to the largest producing space, which is three in a row. Because if you put three of the same type of room together, it basically becomes a super version of that room.
Right, that makes some sense.
And can potentially produce more of whatever that room produces, whether that's charisma, energy, or whatever. So you really want to try to have a good balance of two rooms put together and three rooms put together, because when you have three rooms put together, it takes more people to produce things fast. So like my energy rooms all need really optimally six people in order to turn those resources around fast. If I don't have the right people with the right stats in there, and so I only have like three or four, then I take a hit on production time. You can try to rush your production time, but sometimes that will fail and will cause a catastrophe. And catastrophes can be anything from the room lighting on fire to an infestation of roaches.
Oh, my.
Radioactive ones at that, so it takes a lot of bullets to kill them. So you really want to be very particular about when you rush a resource versus building another room of that type. The more rooms you build, the more of a requirement on energy there is. So once you get to a point where you have like 3 or 4 supersized rooms, you're going to see that your energy requirement is really, really hefty. So you've got to constantly be balancing building new power generators versus new other types of rooms. And always making sure that you have elevators that people can get down to those rooms and up to the service, because you're not always going to have people of all types in your rooms. Sometimes you need to pull people to go to other resource rooms to help turn those resources faster. And so rooms will end up empty. And when they're empty, you'll see little rats running around in the bottom to let you know that, hey, there's nobody in this room. It's just existing. Whatever. So it is. It's like crack. I started playing it, like I said, the moment that the media briefing ended. As I was writing my Bethesda piece, I was taking breaks to play it.
I bet they're happy to hear that.
I only did 3 sets of street passes with my DS because I got to a point where I left my DS and brought my iPad so I could play Shelter instead of street passing. Of course. And I haven't even gotten to Find Me 2 yet, so that's how good Fallout Shelter is.
Wow.
So I ended up playing that a lot as my go-to in-between meetings, kicking it game. It's really, really quite well done. And if you zoom in on any room, you can actually see the conversations that people are having in that room. So you can kind of take like the God Overseer view where people move really quickly in single pose. So you can see all of your rooms. But you can go super, super detailed and watch an entire room if you want. And they glow when they're ready for you to basically harvest what they produce. So it's very, very intuitive. There are even the ability to gain lunch boxes, which are basically buff cards. And you can either buy them for fairly reasonable prices, everything from 99 cents up to $19.99, which $19.99 will give you like 40 of these lunch boxes. There are 4 buff cards in every lunch box. There are obstacles and challenges that you can do to earn lunch boxes, so you don't have to buy them at all. You don't have to spend a dime in this game if you don't want to. But if you want to try and hurry things along, you can buy lunch boxes because every lunch box is guaranteed to have at least a rare item card in it, and whether that rare item is a rare weapon, if it's a trove of caps that you can use to buy and build new rooms, or if it's gear, like clothing, or a person, because you can actually get cards for specialty dwellers that will, once you redeem them, will just show up at your vault that you can bring them in. So that happened for me. I bought a set of 15 lunch boxes right off the bat because I wanted to see like just how nice the rare cards were. And then I earned 2 from different obstacles. And what was great was out of that, I ended up with cards that gave me 6 settlers. So I was able to beef up my security while all my pregnant women were running around.
Mm-hmm.
Which was nice because I got a doctor, I got a wasteland specialist that had an assault rifle, so he was great to put up on the vault door to keep raiders from entering my space really badly. So it's a really, really fun game, and it can be very, very deep if you really want to get into the strategy. I know a couple people that have already abandoned a vault because they're just like, no, I built it wrong and it has no chance of sustaining itself. I fucked it up. So they're just letting it run its course so they can replace it with another one. You can have push notifications sent to you if you want. So I have my iPad push notifications so I know when rooms are ready to be harvested and stuff, because it does run in the background whether you're playing the game or not. And so if you don't at least check in every so often to reap the benefits of what you sow, your people get unhappy and you get a bad report card because it does grade you every day on your performance. And so right now I have an F, a D, and a B.
Okay.
Because I didn't know about the background running the first day. So when I finished my piece, I'm like, oh, I'm going to bed. Turned my iPad off, but didn't realize the game was still running. Woke up and like we were out of water, we were out of energy, so like most of the rooms were pitch black and people were getting unhappy and roaches were coming in all the time, and I was like, oh, I got to get this back on track. And then it, as I'm working to get all the stats back up, it pops up. It's like, all right, so here's your first grade, F. I was like, no. I did not know. No one told me.
Well, now you know. Yeah. And knowing is half the battle.
And so, like, it's obvious that the team spent a lot of time in thinking about the game and what they really wanted to accomplish. It's already outgrossing Candy Crush. That makes me happy in my soul.
People try to invite me to that, like, all the flipping time, and I'm just like, ugh, I can't even.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Fallout Shelter has toppled Candy Crush as far as what it's grossed already. So there's a lot of people buying that $20 pack of lunch boxes because they really want to build some pimped out shelters. But man, oh man, it really is a lot of fun. So if you enjoy that kind of resource management game, then definitely, definitely check out Fallout Shelter. I highly recommend it.
Let's really hone in for Bethesda, because this is only one convention. I mean, one conference out of like five?
For you?
I think there was five or six.
Oh, you're talking about all the media briefings together?
Yeah, total.
So you had Bethesda, Microsoft, EA, UB, Sony, Square, and Nintendo.
So seven.
Yep.
We had seven all together.
Yep.
So, I mean, the big takeaways from Bethesda were obviously Fallout 4, Doom,
Dishonored, everything. Dishonored
2. Yep. But then their whole hub announcement was also like, okay, well played, Bethesda. You're ready to play with some big kids lately.
Yeah.
With the whole Bethesda.net, which will have everything Bethesda all up over it. So I was like, oh, goody, goody gumdrops.
It's brilliant.
But what a way to start. So then after Bethesda, we had, was it Microsoft?
Microsoft was the next.
I feel kind of bad for Microsoft.
I don't.
Because for one, all right, well, here's why I feel bad. So obviously, as people know, I did not go to E3 this year. I had to stay on the East Coast. But I was like, oh, I will just figure out when I'll have a chance to watch all the conferences and then make my comments on them later. Well, if everyone's conference, and I mean everybody's, the only one I couldn't get running was Microsoft's. So I didn't get to see what they announced from Microsoft.
Even on your X-Bone?
Even on the Biffles X-Bone. Like, it kept having problems trying to chew it and, like, show it to me. Like, it would start and then it would stop and it would, like, buffer underrun. And I'd get mad. And I was like, I'll go back to it. And every time I went back to it, I'd have problems. So I have no idea.
Well, I was in the audience, so...
Oh, good. Well, then you can tell me, because it's the only one that I didn't get to, like, sit through and enjoy, which I was pretty sad about.
All right. So, as I've put a cough drop in my mouth because I'm losing my voice, just in time to do this podcast.
Of course.
The big things to walk away from Microsoft, at least for me, number one was backwards compatibility.
Yep. Oh, I heard about that. That's nice.
Okay. This is a big one. And there's a lot of people that have some misconceptions about it. But it's kicking off with 100 games that, as of that media briefing, were backwards compatible, which meant you could go into Live, find those games, and if you already own them, simply put the disc that you have, the physical disc that you have of that game, in your Xbox One, and proceed to, at no additional cost to you, download that to your Xbox One to play it.
That's so fucking cool.
Okay? Now, they're going to continue to expand backwards compatibility, but they launched it with 100 games and said, hey, if you have any of these games, if you own them already, and you own an Xbox One, you don't have to load up your Xbox 360 to play them. You can go into the store and download them and play them now. And there's more to come. And the biggest thing was, and we're not going to charge you to play games that you already own. Which is a dig at Sony, because for PlayStation Now, you are buying and renting.
Right, games that you already have owned.
More than likely, already owned. But in order to play them on the new system, you basically are renting a game that you already purchased. So that's a big deal. Because it takes a lot of engineering to make an Xbox 360 game work on the Xbox One. And a big chunk of them are getting, you know, more achievements.
Right, yep.
And, you know, for people who hunt those, that's important. And a little bit better polished look. Okay, showing off Mass Effect 1, remembering what Mass Effect 1 looked like.
I remember what Mass Effect 1 looks like.
Okay, and to see that updated version that they were running through the backwards compatibility program, that's pretty impressive, because there's a lot of people that haven't jumped to next-gen systems, which are now the current-gen systems, because so much of their library wouldn't be accessible. Like, I have an Xbox One. I think I have a total now of, like, 7 games for my Xbox One. But I have, like, 30 games for my Xbox 360. And with the exception of the ones that I really didn't enjoy, they're all still sitting in my living room.
For
everyone to see. My Xbox 360 is retired, but I could not give up those discs. Because each one of them is an achievement in of itself. And I take great pride in that. And now I'm going to be able to pick up a big chunk of those games and play them on my Xbox One as soon as I get a bigger hard drive, because I've damn near filled up the hard drive that shipped with it, so I need to get an external.
Wasn't there an announcement about them actually beefing up the hard drives?
Yeah, they are. In new bundles and new systems, that's going to happen, but I'm not getting a whole new system. I have a day one. I'm just going to get in Seagate extender drive and put a 3 terabyte external on it so I can download more games to play on the system. But backwards compatibility was a big thing. I'm not a big racing fan, but when they dropped that gorgeous fucking GT from Ford from the ceiling and started showing off the car in the Forza game, it looked phenomenal.
Okay, I will believe you, since, like I said, I did not get a chance to see it.
Yep, it really did. It looked great. But you also had, at least for me, things that were really big. I liked the Rare Collection, because that's 30 of Rare's games for $30 that are playable. And yes, they're in arcade style, but man, oh man. Battletoads, guys.
Battletoads?
Conker's Bad Fur Day. Come on. Okay? And they're probably going to make you, if you want to get all the bad language, just like you had to in the original game, you got to beat it one time first before they unlock all the bad, naughty language to actually come through.
Oh, well, so, I can see that happening, like, instantaneously.
You know, and so there's a lot of people that nostalgia means a lot, plus the new game from Rare. Holy mother. And let's talk about, really quickly, ReCore, which came out of nowhere for me. Like, how do you keep a project that Keiji Inafune is working on completely under wraps? Nobody knew about ReCore. Everybody knows about Mighty No. 9. Hell, it was a Kickstarter.
Yep, that's right. I do remember that.
Okay, but, like, I heard no rumblings, nothing. When that video started running, first when I saw the stand and I saw the female type footprint, I thought, oh my god, Beyond Good and Evil. I was getting really excited.
Because I'm sorry you didn't get it, though. I'm sorry.
I know. Beyond Good because the teaser that we got at UB a couple years ago was out in the desert with Jade ending up on a hood of a car sunbaking. So I'm like, is it? And then the dog thing popped up. I'm like, nope, this is something completely different. And they started running the credits. And man, when Keiji Inafune's name came across the screen, the team that worked on Metroid Prime, they're the ones that created ReCore, popped up. Everybody in that audience was like, whoa? Like, flashes stopped going. Like, everyone was paying attention. And that video looked phenomenal. I love the concept of the game, but I had heard nothing about it. And you know us. But for most of the community journalists and most of the journalists, by the time we get to the media briefings on Monday, we pretty much know what trailers we're about to see. Because somebody's leaked it from drinks the night before. Like, we know. Nothing. No one in my network knew anything about ReCore. That is a feat unto itself. Because there's usually slip-ups from someplace on the line. But ReCore looked amazing. Didn't see anything about Crackdown.
So you know eventually it's coming, bro. So just
they're probably going to hold that for Gamescom. I'm okay with that. But, like, most of the stuff that Microsoft talked about was really focused on things coming out in 2015 and things aimed really at pleasing the gaming community. Backwards compatibility is nothing but aimed at rewarding the community that's spending a whole lot of money. Because they didn't have to do it. Okay, they've got an install base on Xbox One. It's not massive, like, they don't have to worry about money. But they've got an install base that loves the platform. So they did not have to build backwards compatibility. But they did. Okay, and the fact that they're not charging for it really and truly does speak to really getting the community and what the community wants and listening to them, which I think is really, really, really important in this go-round of consoles. So then you've got the focus on the games that are coming out now. You know, Fallout coming in November, Assassin's coming in October, you've got Tomb Raider coming in, I can't remember if it's November or October, but it's one of those two. You got Guardians dropping in November.
Guardians!
You know, they've got a real strong lineup of very big games coming this holiday. That's a big deal. Okay. So, you know, I thought that Microsoft's presser really spoke to the community. Bethesda's presser set the precedent for here's how you deliver high energy and here's how you deliver to your install base and let them know that they really matter. And so I think that those two really dovetailed well.
All right, so then after Microsoft, I believe we had EA.
Yes. So I did not go to the EA media briefing. KBD and Ham did. Big things for me coming out of EA, Unravel.
Yes.
Which I hadn't heard anything about Unravel until that Monday morning as I was going into the Microsoft briefing. There were some people in the line that were like, hey, there's this thing from EA later today that if they actually show it, like, people are going to lose their shit. And again, my brain was like, oh, man, what if Beyond Good and Evil left UB because they couldn't finish it at UB and now it's going to be at EA? All right, well, I'd be okay with that. Like, my brain was just so stuck on Beyond Good and Evil.
That's okay. I don't think you're the only one either.
But Unravel looks phenomenal.
It gave me a sense of deja journey.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, oh, it's so cute, innocent appearing. But then, like, it's, I feel like it's going to drop that whole heaviness. Like, okay, so you're this little yarn creature bopping around the world with this giant string. I'm like, eventually that string's going to run out. And then what?
You'll be unraveled.
And I was like, oh my God, no. Like, just for the trailer alone, I'm like, I already has a sad.
But I love that there's this genre, or subgenre, I guess, of platformers evolving that are really focused on these emotional stories, you know, with Ori and Journey and Flow and Flower and now Unravel. Like, you know, and I would even put probably, to a degree, Life is Strange in that category.
Oh, Life is Strange.
You know, but it was really unexpected for me, and I was very impressed by it. And then, obviously, Mirror's Edge, because fucking Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge!
You know, and that's really all EA had for me, because I'm not into sports games, personally. But, man, oh, man, those are some strong ones for EA for me, for sure. Like, I will be playing Unravel. I will be playing Mirror's Edge.
Catalyst or
yep.
Chrysalis or whatever it's called?
Yes.
All right, so then after EA, we had Ubi.
Yep.
Which is always helmed by, or has been currently been helmed by.
When done well, it's because it's helmed by Aisha Tyler,
who is my spirit animal.
Yes.
And who, when I digivolve, I turn into.
Correct.
And once again, I think she held everyone's attention. She was funny, but not her stand-up funny. Like, she wasn't trying to overshow Ubi at all.
It was so weird because I think everyone expected, like, Aisha Tyler to be, like, stand-up Aisha Tyler and just knock it out of the park like she has in past years. And it seemed like this year they tried to create some more bits. And yeah. Unfortunately, they didn't use other comedians,
which I feel like would have been the way to go.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't, some of them fell really like flat. I feel like Aisha Tyler is an improv comedian, unless it's stuff that she's written herself and she knows the flow of whatever.
Oh, she's the great joke at the improv. Like, she could take the ball and run with it.
But that's the thing. So I think in this instance, well, yeah, they gave her instances where a bit was there, but I think they initially just set up a scenario and then kind of let her attempt to improv her way through it.
Well, like, the whole thing with, like, trying to create a meme with the guy that they hired to be Jacob from
Syndicate
bopping around, because they had him, like, out in the lobby and he was just, like, parkouring off of shit and we'd be posed on, like, banisters and stuff. It was awesome. But it was obvious that he was not a comedian, right, and wasn't in on the joke or the bit and was not prepared to lob back the ball that Aisha sent.
To be a character for your game, I hope they gave him information on the character outside of just him.
They did, but they didn't set him up to, like, return Aisha's jokes when she went out to the floor seating and was sitting next to him and was like, all right, so we're going to make a meme. What's your meme going to be about? And the guy's face was obvious, like, I don't know what a meme is and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say. And so Aisha was like, oh, they didn't set you up with that. All right, well, let's keep going. Boom, internet. And so it was obvious that, like, some people either didn't get the right cues or things like that, because that was a little bit weird. But man, oh man, when they start digging into the games, though.
Right.
The games, though, Panda.
Interesting.
What are you interested in? Because
One, interesting side story. As I was watching that presser, because I did get to watch that in tandem to when you guys were watching it.
Yep.
Or at it. And I kept, like, dropping her meme pictures of that guy, like, trying to make a meme worthy of her. And my favorite one, since I feel like sharing, was, hey, girl, you like this body? It's full of rickets. So, since she made the joke of the rickets and stuff. Yep. But anyway, so out of that, I mean, I was losing my shit, like, lost my shit when they announced Rainbow Six Siege. That's what really pulled me in, because I played it. I was okay at it. I wasn't the best, but, you know, I try. And as soon as I saw this female character just kind of talking at the screen, my first instinct was, holy crap, is that Angela Bassett? And then as I listened, I'm like, oh my God, that's Angela Bassett's voice. And that is Angela Bassett's face all animated up. And I was like, aw, shit. They got Angela Bassett in a fucking game. They got Aisha Tyler talking about it. And the only thing that can make this for real for me, and then as I'm saying this in my mind, she walks on stage.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh my God! And I'm jumping up and down. I'm so glad no one saw me because I look like a wild woman in the jungle. And I'm like, I am all over this game. I want Six to tell me what to do.
So, I'm sitting in the balcony covering this media briefing, watching Aisha Tyler just bring it, right? And I see Angela Bassett's face pop up on the screen. I'm like, oh, wow, they made that character really look like Angela Bassett. Hadn't even really heard the voice yet, because I was live tweeting and watching our chat room to moderate it. And then my brain kicks in and says, hey, dumbass, that's actually Angela Bassett talking. And so I look and I'm like, oh, shit. That's actually Angela Bassett. Now, Angela Bassett is my spiritual animal when it comes to famous black women.
That's who you turn into.
So when it comes to, like, amazing black women in entertainment that we digivolve in, Angela Bassett is mine. So I'm sitting watching your digievolution set up my digievolution.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just oh, my God, that's going to be so amazing. And I'm expecting the developers to come out and talk next, because that's the formula at these media briefings. First, we have somebody come out and talk about it really quickly, and it's either the host that sets up the reel, and then the developers or lead designers who worked on the game come out and talk about it a little bit, showing off some gameplay, and then we move on to the next one. Or sometimes a famous person pops out to talk about how much they love so on thing. And again, B-roll runs behind them and everybody's happy. We move on to the next game. At which point, I hear Aisha Tyler say, ladies and gentlemen, Angela Bassett. And Angela Bassett walks out on the stage looking fly as fuck.
You don't fuck with the Bassett.
Okay? And so now I'm watching her talk about being involved in this video game and how cool it was. And I'm like, oh, my Digievolution actually likes games. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So much so that I, like,
shit.
Completely was not paying attention to our chat for, like, the entire segment that Angela Bassett was talking. So my bad, guys. But I nerded out. I own it.
No, and I feel like for our Digievolutions, we are completely, utterly allowed to.
We are. And so Aisha Tyler comes back on stage. So then it's both of our Digievolutions talking to each other about games on stage. And I was like, that's it. I flipped the table. I'm done. I can't even with the rest of this media briefing. But then it got better.
Now that we've talked about that truly awesome bit, I can't tell if I'm blurring my conferences together or not. But there was another star who appeared in one of them.
Are you talking about Jason Derulo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was UB. That was for Just Dance.
Okay, so let's talk about this for Just
Dance. Oh, boy.
Because, okay.
I know what you're going to say.
Do you?
Yeah.
What I'm going to say? Ooh, he needs to learn how to sing live, because that fucker can't really sing, hardly dances. We should just get Usher to do all of the things.
Okay, so let's take a step back.
Ah! I'm sorry. Yeah. The song, I love the song. Don't get me wrong. I love the song, and I'm so glad. It's, like, number one on our charts.
But
blah, blah, blah.
Panda, in Jason's defense,
he sucks at singing, you're right.
No, because I was physically there, okay? And he was fucking with his earpiece the entire time. I don't think he could hear himself.
Okay.
And so he was struggling to get on pitch because he could not hear himself. Like, if you go back and watch the video when he first comes out, it's part of the reason why he misses some of the dance moves, because he keeps fiddling with his ear.
Okay.
And so I think the mix was off in his ear, and that really threw him for a fucking loop.
Because as I'm watching this, and he's all like, girl, and I'm like, are you having a fucking seizure? But I didn't say that, because I'm like, it must be nerve-wracking to go out there and perform. But, like, I'm
sitting
there.
No, because without a good earpiece when you're on stage like that, you can't hear yourself.
I know. I understand.
Okay,
oh, God. It really just kind of soured the mood for me, though, like, when it came out. Because, like, they were setting it up, and I'm like, someone's going to come out and perform. I'm like, who's got the really hot song right now?
And you're like, all right, well, hold on. We did Flo Rida 1 year. Yeah. You had Usher over at the Dance Central at the Xbox. Yeah. So it's so not going to be Meghan Trainor because she don't dance.
Right. So I was like, so then when he came out, I'm like, okay. And, like, I just couldn't let myself get excited. And, I mean, it might have just been because my Twitter was just so jaded with him. Like, a lot of people were like, what is this going on? Who thinks that this guy... And I'm like, look, like, who puts a music performer in a conference? And I'm like, actually, we had Flo Rida a couple years ago, and 2 years ago, Usher was with Microsoft for Dance Central. So this is not an uncommon practice.
Correct. And if Michael had been alive, they probably would have tried to get Michael for the MJ experience.
So, like, yeah.
If you're going to announce a dance or rhythm-based game, it kind of makes sense to have a musical performer.
But then you have Aisha asking him what he likes about the game, and he's like, well, because it lets people think they can sing and dance. And I'm like, no, it makes you think you can dance.
See, there you go, being all jaded and nasty.
I was so mean. I am so mean.
Stop being such a mean girl, Panda.
Because he wants to be Chris Brown before he hit Rihanna, and no one will ever be Chris Brown.
Now stop. Hey, look.
Before he hit Rihanna.
Jason Derulo's albums are tight.
No.
Yes. The albums.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Let's agree to disagree.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Ugh. The only reason why I like that song is that...
You like that song. Stop it.
I like that song because of that one vine with I'm assuming that very fabulous guy in his blue tighty whities doing a stripper pole dance while playing that on a clarinet, showing some skills in three different areas. The only reason why I like the Wiggle Wiggle song. But anyway, so that was UB.
Wait, no, that wasn't just UB. You had South Park game announced.
Yeah, but that came out of the gate first. And can we talk about the name for just a minute?
The Fractured But Whole.
But I was sitting there, like, because I was reading.
It's a play on two planes.
And I'm sitting there like, Fractured But Whole. I'm like, oh, coming together. I like it. And then later on that night, my boyfriend was like, Fractured But Whole. Am I right? I'm like, oh, my God.
Wait, you didn't get the second plane?
No, I didn't get it.
And then but Cartman even laughs after they say it.
I know, but I wasn't. I was like, fractured. I'm like, oh, unit. Like, I totally was in my own world. So then later on when it got brought back to me, I was like, oh, my God, fractured butthole. Like, someone's butthole is going to be fractured, like, by doing something really awesome or not awesome at all. And I was like, oh, my God, that is genius on, like, two different levels. But they opened the gate with that. And I mean, honestly, you put South Park at the beginning, middle, or end of anything, and they kind of win.
Well, I just think it's amazing because, you know, like, the guy said that they were never going to do another game. And I thought it was really honest of them to come out and be like, yeah, but as we got to the end of this game, which went through all of its troubles and travails, they're like, we finally figured out how to make a game. So we figured, ah, fuck it, we'll make another one. Like, I love that approach to it. And now you're doing superheroes, which means you've got Coon and friends running around. So Lord knows how inappropriate this is going to be.
Oh, Coon and friends.
You know, so I'm looking forward to the game for sure. I was surprised by Ghost Recon Wildlands and pleasantly surprised by it at the same time.
Now, who made the one? I'm trying to remember what the name is. I think it's Horizon Zero.
So Horizon
Zero Dawn or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, that's a Sony game. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Okay, sorry.
Yep.
They all start blurring into one awesome day.
Here's how you remember Yubi. Ready? Yep. Lots and lots of killing of things or dancing. So at Yubi, you had Rainbow Six, which we heard about last year. We just got more details, including that Terror Hunt was coming back, which was awesome. So you have Rainbow Six Siege. You had Ghost Recon Wildlands, which we haven't had a Ghost Recon game in forever, and it's open fucking world multiplayer. It's crazy. I got to go hands-on with it. I will have a piece up on the website about it shortly to talk about that, but trust me, that's amazeballs. Obviously, you have Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Also went hands-on with that. That piece is currently live on the website, but it actually is not disappointing, guys, so that's phenomenal. You also have The Division from Yubi, which right. I went hands-on with that, and my team of three did not win, mostly because the two guys that were on my team decided that they were alpha dudes and didn't need me to win, so they just let me stay dead every time I died. They didn't come to heal me at any point. And so we lost.
Fuck that.
Yeah, so that happened. But the game really played well.
Oh, you should have turned on them, maybe.
Actually, you can go rogue. And I thought about it, but I'm like, my mama raised me better. So,
well, it got you dead.
It did get me dead, but it did get me a very nice snow globe for the Division. Aww. So, there's that. I just didn't get the bomb-ass sniper gloves that they were giving away to the team that won because my team didn't win. So, you have the Division as well. And then you also have the new IP For Honor, which I played, and is a very interesting game. It is complex yet simple. Which is interesting, and I think that there's going to be a chunk of people that enjoy playing it, especially people on PC, or who game typically on PC, because I think they'll actually like the controller setup on that. Then you also have the Just Dance game, and then you have the South Park game. So very, very strong lineup for Yubi coming out of the gate, for sure. But lots and lots of shooter bang bang dead, which I'm okay with. Totes my goats okay with.
Okay.
But that's Sony. That's Yubi.
So moving on, then we had Sony.
So then we had Sony. And I think
Sony, I feel, fucking won.
So I disagree. I think that Sony had the conference this year that they should have had last year.
I think they could have talked about some of the things that they announced this year, last year.
Okay.
But they were holding on to it because I'm sure in their minds they weren't sure what everybody else was bringing. But I'm sorry.
You can't hold things based off of what your other guys are going to. You got to play with your best hand. I'm very happy. I'm ecstatic that they led with Guardian. I think there is no better way to start.
Like, hey guys, remember that game you guys have been sweating our balls out off of? Hey, let's show you what we've been doing with it because it's real.
Yes.
It's happening.
And I think that what happened there was that they started getting into it on the PS3 and realized that the system wasn't strong enough to do all the things that they wanted
to do.
Probably
not.
But, and so they went, hey, what, if we can hold on this for a couple of years and keep working on it, we've got new hardware in development that probably will be able to do it.
I want a fluffy, furry dog, kitty, puppy, dragon.
I want a fluffy, furry, feathery, falcor, dragon, kitty thing, too.
I want one. I want one so bad. Like, so bad.
My and if Sony is smart, the collector's edition of the game will have one.
Oh, my God.
All right. So I'm very happy, very, 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 very happy that they led with Last Guardian.
Okay.
I'm glad to know that it's real. I'm glad to know that it uses similar mechanics to Ico in the whole call over.
I played Ico now.
I told you should have played it.
I know.
Okay, and it was one of the collector's things that you could have got and played on the system, just saying. So I was very happy that they led with that. I was ecstatic, and for the Final Fantasy VII remake, because VII was the only game that I almost completed in the Final Fantasy.
Final Fantasy VII remake
franchise, and that it was a true remake, and not just a fucking port.
Do you know what I'm upset about with that announcement? And it's not even the announcement that I'm slightly upset about, but the experience of that game for a lot of people, like, it was really people's awakening to, oh wow, a game can have compelling narrative. Like, Square has always been really good about having very unique, highly detail-oriented stories. And people remember playing Final Fantasy VII because of what goes down in it. And I'm not spoiling anything, because most of the people who listened to our show have played it and know what I'm talking about. You know, the whole, you know, Aeris and, you know...
Dude, it was funny, though, because, like, as I'm watching the chat, like, there are people that are tweeting out, don't level Aeris.
Yeah!
Newbie, like, tip, don't level Aeris.
Like, I'm sitting there, like, I saw these meme pictures, I'm like, dude, you guys are totally taking out, like, the big... Because that was the thing about my game, is that, you know, I leveled her up. I leveled the fuck out of her. And I did not see it coming. And then when we had to return her back to the light, like, I cried so hard because she was the only person I had who was, like, decent double digits at that point. And I was like, where? But no one. Skills. Fuck. I'm screwed. And, you know, and I'm like, no! And that's an experience that I, one, at that time, hated, but obviously in retrospect, I'm kind of glad I had. But now kids, and I'm saying kids because, you know, I'm not a spring chicken myself these days, but the generations under me who now will potentially play it, now know the big cinematic reveal of the game. So it's kind of like...
But at this point, they knew the cinematic reveal before this remake was made. Like, people have been making the Aeris Lives references for a long, long time. This remake is not redoing them. I mean, there's a freaking Aeris Lives joke Easter egg in Wreck-It Ralph. Like, it was spoiled for people a long time ago. So you can't put it on the remake of, like, oh, the community's being a douche because they're spoiling it. It was already done
spoiled. I want to know who they're going to bring in to voice Sephiroth. Like, I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. I want
to
know it all.
You know, it was great to see just how expansive No Man's Sky
is. When they mentioned No Man's Sky last year, I was thoroughly excited at the idea of hopping in a ship and, like, flying into space.
They just need to hurry up and release it.
And discover planets. And, you know, if I want to fight people, I can. But if I don't want to, I don't have to.
But they need to hurry up and release that game, because there are a bunch of games now that are just like that. Yep, that have worlds, like, that are dangerous? Just... Yes, that are just as expansive. And they're coming to console now. So they need to hurry up and get No Man's Sky out there.
Okay.
Because I'll tell you right now, I played Elite Dangerous, and man, oh man, if No Man's Sky doesn't come out pretty soon, I'm going to be playing Elite Dangerous on my X1. So right, they need to hurry the fuck up.
We had that. We had. No, it was two. I'm trying to remember. Tomb Raider,
the gameplay in the video was shown off at Microsoft.
Okay. But we're getting it for...
It's going to be on all consoles. I can't remember if it's one of the ones that'll be play it first on X1. Probably. There's some things that are play it first on PlayStation, like Call of Duty. is play it first on PlayStation. Right. So I mean, so it will be on Xbox One, but you'll be able to get it probably day zero.
About Shenmue for a minute.
You mean Shenmue?
Shenmue 3, please.
You mean Shenmue?
Shenmue, please. 3. Can we please talk about it?
Go ahead. Go ahead. I feel like you have some opinions that you really want to share, Banda.
I do, because I played painstakingly back then. I played the first one.
Yep.
And I
You had a Dreamcast?
No, but somebody I know had one. So I played it on his Dreamcast. Thank you, anonymous person.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I mean, I don't think when I played it, I really kind of got it.
Yeah, Shenmue was fucking deep.
Like, I didn't get what was going on. I was probably just pressing buttons and exploring my game reality and whatever. Mm-hmm. But by the time the second one came out, one, I didn't have the appropriate system, and two, I couldn't find any copies of the second game.
Oh, dude, you should tell me. I had some here, too.
So, I never played the second one.
All right.
So, but when I saw 3, I was like, okay, well, that's all right. Like, this will be fine, because they're probably going to, like, fill me in on what happened in that middle game. Probably, maybe not. So, but, like, everyone was, like, losing their shit. And, I mean, like, I wasn't even thinking about Shenmue. Like, at all. Shenmue.
There's no N on the end.
Moo. Shenmue.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like a cow says moo?
Yes.
Okay. So, but I mean, like, people were losing their shit, and I'm like, I vaguely remember this game. I vaguely remember having warm, fuzzy feelies for it. I'm like, I wish I knew what happened in the middle, because I'm sure there's more shit in there that would be good to know before I play this. But I'm obviously going to play it. So I was kind of glad to see that happen, and people were blowing me up. I'm like, I wish I had more comments for you, but I don't.
My thing is that I felt that it was weird the way that it was introduced, in that players like, yeah, we're totally behind this game, but we're kicking off its Kickstarter now, and we get to 2 million, man, the game's going to get made. And I was just like, wait, are you backing and going to release the game, Sony, or are you only going to release the game if enough backers pony up money so you don't have to pony up a bunch of money? I'm very confused right now.
Well, then, because then all of a sudden they're like, let's count down, 3, 2, 1. I'm like,
because that was the launch of the Kickstarter. Oh, so okay. The Kickstarter was set that the game would get made if the Kickstarter reached 2 million.
Okay, because I got confused. Like, oh my God, did people just pledge all that money right now? I didn't know America was that rich.
And they did, because by the time that we left the media briefing, the Kickstarter was at 1.5 million.
Holy crap.
It just needed to get to 2. It got to 2, and then they added stretch goals.
Of course they
did. And then a bunch of the stretch goals, however, seemed to be, like, goals for actually playing the game, like an open immersive world. And so there were a lot of people like, hold on. So you're now saying if we don't get to 10 million, we're not getting the game? Like, what the fuck is this shit? Because you guys said 2 million before, and Sony said that they were behind this game. So are they fucking putting money behind this game and distributing it or not? Like, what is going on? It's really fucking sketchy. And so basically where you're at is, the game is getting made.
Yay!
2 million makes the game happen, and it allows for a single-player campaign. The stretch goals were set up so that you could have multiplayer and you could have massive onward experience in the multiplayer. That's what the creative wanted. So that's where the 10 million is. Supposedly, Sony's supposed to be coming out of pocket at some point, and I imagine what they thought was going to happen is if they didn't get to the 10 million, they'd be like, surprise, we believe in this whole thing, we're going to foot the rest of the bill, and the game's coming out, it's going to be a PlayStation exclusive. Yeah! Woo! Which is shady as fuck.
Yes, it is.
Because you're either behind a game,
Or you're not.
So, that's a little shady. I did not jump in on that Kickstarter. I'm just waiting for the dust to settle, and for them to decide who the fuck is paying for the game, and what's happening, and then be done with it, and I'll get the game when it comes out. Because I am a big, big fan of the franchise, and I'm glad that the game's getting made. So there's that. Obviously, there's Uncharted, because...
And I remember having a pretty grisly debate with you about
this I know game. And you were still trying to ignite that shit during the chat.
I was like, sorry.
As you're live tweeting, your first tweet was like,
hashtag Sully must die.
Exactly. And I almost threw you out of the chat. I almost banned your tweets for showing up for a couple of minutes in the chat. Because I was like, if she doesn't hurry up and get off this line of thought, I might have to hurt her.
It's like, hashtag Sully better have that AARP.
Uncharted looks great. It looks great. It's a done deal that I'm getting it. It looks phenomenal.
So when now let's talk about Horizon. So, when they ended on, because they ended on Uncharted, I was a little upset because I was expecting to hear about another game, which got talked about at a different conference, but I thought they were going to roll it into this one, but they didn't. And that is Kingdom Hearts 3. But we'll talk about that when we get to Square Enix, which I think is the one that comes after Sony.
Let's talk about
Horizon Zero Dawn because
so let's talk about that because I was out in the pre-eating area for the Sony briefing having beers because they had run out of the good alcohols and gelato because beer and gelato works for some reason.
Gelato
basically is what I was trying to get to before I went into this briefing, and I saw some of the guys from Guerrilla Games, and my brain was like, why is Guerrilla here? I haven't heard anything about a Killzone game, so... Oh, please don't be bringing a Killzone game. Like, I can't take a Killzone game today, guys. I really can't.
But let's talk about it, because at first when I saw it playing, I was like, okay. I'm like, so we're going back to, like, prehistoric... Because, like, the way that they built that up was mm-hmm. that was genius.
Yep.
Because I'm like, we're, like, cave people. Yep. Like, the Earth is, like, renewed. And then all of a sudden it's like, no, like... Our ancestors were in, like, technology. I was like, aw, shit.
Yeah, and then Robo Tyrannosaurus Rex shows up, and I was like, Robo T-Rex does not lock cotton to your shit.
Oh, man.
He squashes the forest.
And, like, the funny thing about that game is... So I play a game on my phone called Game Dev Story, which pretty much you make a company, and you pretty much do contracts, make money to make your own games, and eventually your own console if you make money like that.
Right.
And, like, it's all time management and having the appropriate people in your staff and paying out money when people are due money. Like, it's very... It's time-consuming, but it's
just
also,
like Shelter. Yep.
It is. So, I yearly, because at the end of the fiscal year, you actually... Any games that you made in that year, they go to, like, this... Pretty much like an E3. And they get voted on. And I made one with this exact same premise of, like, cavemen and, like, technology... in an open world environment. And so as this is coming, I'm like, someone hacked my game dev story and they turned my game. Cause it was the game that won that the year, like best game of the year award. So it's like, who hacked into my game and figured out that this was the best combination of technology and ancestral history? Like, who is stealing my shit? And, like, I freaked out, but I'm like, I will have to play this game because I'm sure Guerrilla Games is going to do it a lot better than I would have ever done in my imagination. So, you know, at least it's gone off to a good home. But
oh, yeah, and don't forget that there was also some stuff about Destiny with the
Taken King. Oh, yeah, Fallen King, yeah.
And, Taken King, not
yeah,
King.
Fallen Taken King, blah, blah.
The new collector's edition go with the mock-up Strange Coin, though?
I had a lot of jokes for that, because I have this...
Did you see the Flaming Hammer, though? Because I've thrown the Flaming Hammer, and they're kind of awesome for the Titan.
But I had a lot of jokes for it, especially because he's like, well, he's really mad at you because you killed his son. I'm like, oh, great. I'm like, so we go and we kill him, and now Arismon's going to be like, Crota's father is pissed. And I'm like, great, because now they're gonna give Eris Morn like 6 more lines, and now she's gonna always be bitching about.
It may be somebody new.
I thought it was kind of funny that this was all going on because you know with the House of Wolves, now we kind of have, you know, that stuff going off, and like I just
in September. We gotta take it to Crota's dad, who probably can fly. Did you see his wings? He looks like that fucking gargoyle from the Gargoyle series.
Which one?
The main, the guy. Yeah, Goliath.
Okay.
He looks like a really big alien Goliath.
That's all right. I'm down for some Goliath.
No, it's not Goliath and, like, Take Me Goliath. It's, like, Goliath and, like, oh, fuck.
Oh, well, because Take Me Goliath is the only Goliath that I want to know. But anyway, so very excited for that. Obviously, you know, the Taken King, the looks really good. I'm glad for the upgrades that we're going to get in Destiny.
And I got to play a Hunter class and the Titan class in the with the upgraded stuff. And they are definitely different. I will tell you right now, the new classes for a bunch of people will make PvE faster, will make PvP accessible. Good. So that.
All right. So I feel like Sony had a lot of things that people have been waiting to hear.
Yeah, but all my big thing with Sony is like a big chunk of their awesome stuff is in 2016.
True. Moving right along, Square Enix, which, you know, and I'm a Square Enix fan. I believed in
them. You're a Square Enix fan, girl.
I'm a squeener.
You are.
I am.
Yeah.
At the core of my soul, I'm a squeener, and I usually like to support them. I do. Yes. Until Final Fantasy 13.
Right.
And
Final Fantasy. And then you were like, I'm out!
And then Final Fantasy 13, 3.
Right.
And then Lightning Returns.
Right. You have a lot of and thens.
And that's when I took a break. I was like, Square, you and I need to take a break. I'm gonna play my Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm. You figure out your shit. And when you're ready, we can approach this like adults.
Right.
So when the Square Enix one went off, I had this strong sense of ennui. Like, it didn't gel for me the way I was hoping it was going to gel. Now, they did make the announcement about Kingdom Hearts 3, right. Announcing that it was in development, but that's all they really gave us, and they gave us a little...
Which we knew it was in development.
Yes. So, like, you're not telling...
We knew it from 2 years ago that it was in development.
And then it was like, oh, and then you're going to show us this little FMV of, you know, these two guys playing chess, the light and the dark. I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, great, now we have a cute emo boy, now a cute light boy to, like, fawn over. And, oh, the Keyblade Awards have been, like, going on forever. I wonder who's going to win, blah, 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 blah. Mike, really? You could have shown us a little bit more, I feel, for that. Because we already knew it was coming. And you didn't show us anything that kind of made me go, yay. And then Life is Strange, which we've already seen a little bit of that at PAX East. And I was already on board when I got my hands on then. So I'm glad that they're re-showing it to just remind people that they have this in the pipes. And it exists,
yep. Because it, does that help?
It did. It helped soften the blow. But I just...
Not impressed with Hitman or Deus Ex?
All right. Truth time.
Oh, boy.
I did not play Deus Ex.
You didn't play Deus Ex?
No, I didn't. After a friend of mine got a review copy and played it, he lent it to me. And I loaded it up, and, like, it just felt so cold to me. And I know that's kind of weird because that's, you know, like, it's a disc, so it doesn't have hands and it doesn't hold you at night. But, like, I felt like it was the Matrix meet Square Enix in a blender that they got put in the freezer for, like, maybe 3 hours too long.
Okay.
And they made the game feel more difficult than it actually was. So it didn't make me feel like, oh, yeah, I want to play this game and really kind of figure out this augmented body. Like, I just didn't feel it. And I tried. But I was not impressed with Deus Ex, so I didn't really fall in line with that. I do feel like I'm slightly disappointed in what Square showed. I wish they had shown more for Kingdom Hearts 3. I'm glad they made the announcement, though, and they're not jerking us around. Like, I'm pretty glad about that. But, you know, I know they're suffering a little bit over there at Square, but, you know, they got to get their heads out of their butts. Like, soon. Like, very soon.
Well, you got to remember that Deus Ex is looking pretty sweet, actually. Completely changed in the gameplay from the previous version. So if you want to run and gun it, you can, or you can stealth it. So very much reminding me of Hitman in the way that it plays.
Hitman kind of brought it back for me a little bit, because I did play Hitman, and I absolutely enjoy
playing. Well, Deus plays a little bit more like Hitman now than it.
Then maybe they might be able to.
You might want to give it another look.
They might be able to, but I was.
You gotta remember that Square is also the house releasing Tomb Raider, so.
Right. But I mean, okay, yes.
Don't forget that.
So they've got that, and they've got Life is Strange.
Yep.
And I mean, and those are good, and I'm not saying nay, but I feel like everyone else really kind of pushed all that really big stuff, like, right in your, like, ooh, happy keys,
no, shiny, like,
keys, no, all
no,
in your
the other developers pretty much came with, like, a full hand, and Square came prepared to play Texas Hold'em.
Right. So it's all like, oh no, Square, we're playing Goldfish. I only have 5 cards, and you guys all have, like, 18 cards.
Yeah. They were hoping on the river, and,
I was a little sad about that, and then
I'll let you take Nintendo, because I didn't even watch it. That's how disillusioned I am with Nintendo right now.
Well, here's the thing about Nintendo. The only thing that I took away...
Yarn Yoshi?
From Nintendo...
Amiibos is life?
Well, they're definitely putting all their money into these microtransactions with these Amiibos, and sadly, there are people who are eating this shit up. So... they know how to get people into buying tangible things. But game-wise, the only game that really kind of made me go, okay, I'm glad to see it in the ranks was the new Star Fox game. But that's just because I'm a Star Fox girl.
Right.
Through and through. Everything else kind of glazed over, which is really kind of sad for me. Because I know that we're supposed to get... where they were talking about a Metro Prime game, and sadly, from what I've been seeing on the internet, a lot of people are upset with the idea of a new one, because I guess they want to change some stuff, and there are petitions now to get them to not release the new and not develop the new Metroid game. And I'm just for all the hype, like with the freaking Reggie Fils-Aimé puppet doing freaking cock push-ups or whatever it was he was doing.
Like, I'm pretty sure that the Reggie Fils-Aimé puppet was not doing cock push-ups.
He was probably lifting weights or like lifting himself up with a finger.
No, he was doing push-ups. They just weren't cock push-ups.
And kind of made people feel like, oh yeah, he's beefed up. He's ready to show like all this. And it fell flat on its face. It got a ribbon of participation. And a slap on the butt. Like, nice try. Nice try, Nintendo. So, I mean, like, I feel like it got swallowed up in the tsunami of everybody else. So, maybe the last slot, not the best place to go. It's like the death slot.
And unless you got a big fucking lineup, the last, right. You know, the closer is not what you want to be.
No. So, but, I mean, I know there was a lot more that you got to play with and interact with and see...
Oh, we'll be talking about it more next week on the show, as well as on the website, so we've got plenty of stuff for people to read all about our trials and travails while we were in LA covering the E3 2015. So don't you worry. You'll hear about it and read about it and see about it and all that good stuff. Good E3?
Sounds like a pretty good E3. Like I said, I wasn't there, so I guess it was an okay E3.
Yeah, but I mean, you have heard the announcements, you've seen the trailers, you've seen the gameplay that everybody else has seen, whether it was on Twitch or YouTube or whatever. So you have to have an opinion. Like, as far as games go, good E3 or not?
Good E3. Good E3.
Word.
Happy E3.
I agree. It was a really, really strong E3 for gamers, because there's a lot of stuff coming. Even the 4 games from Devolver, you know, indie getting so much attention and love now, being treated on the same level as AAA, that's a beautiful place to be on console. You know, when you think about it's taken a year.
Yeah.
You know, for them to really blow up. I mean, there was an Indiecade presence at the show is a really good year. It's a really good year. So be sure to check our website, www.electricsisterhood.com, for all the news, reviews, coverage from our live tweets if you want to see them. They are archived, so you can check out all the tweets we sent and chatted with you guys about the media events as they were going on. But there are more articles and more things to come from our E3 coverage on the site, so make sure that you check it out. You can also hit up egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Check out some of our reviews, preview pieces that we did for the show, as well as other great articles from the entire team at ESH. There you can catch our podcast in so many places: in iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, on our website, and pretty much any podcast search engine that you use by searching for the ESHcast Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. But if you're listening to our show, you should listen to the other shows that are part of our family of publications, because they're amazeballs. So if you're into indie anything, whether it's music, manga, movies, theater, TV, anime, video games, then you want to make sure that you check out No Borders, No Race, hosted by our homeboy KBD. Those episodes go new typically on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, if you need beats for your feet, then make sure that you're checking out Geek Aggro, because the homie Deuces Wild puts together some great playlists to keep your fist pumping and your feet moving through your workouts. And on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues
together.
The Issues Guy Issues Program, call in live. You can be part of the recap shows. It does Game of Thrones, which, oh my God, Thrones, right? But also Walking Dead. If it's a really good show, then there's a recap for it, for sure, at the Issues Program. So make sure that you check it out and share the issues with the program that you have with the Issues Guy. And coming soon to the network, very, very soon, kicking off in July, the Structure Network, with so much going on there, so many different topics. We're talking comic cons, comic books, more games, anime, manga. Like, it's about to get ridiculous. Wrestling, there's pretty much, if it's nerdy, we're going to be covering it through our site. So make sure, if you haven't yet, get your bookmarks ready for thestructurenetwork.com, because it's coming. And fam, we're about to be redonk strong. The grid is live, people, and it's going to be amazeballs.
Flexing my muscles right now. Ugh.
So with that, I'm going to turn to my sister and say, hey, yo, sis.
Yes?
What shit are you digging this week?
Naps.
Naps are good.
Because I be tired.
Naps are good.
Tired with all this news. Like, it's so bombarding, I have to take a nap to refresh for more news.
You got to reboot.
Reboot with the
and
naps.
And you also heard about the reboot. So we'll talk about that on a podcast.
Oh, too. My God, yes. Anyway, what shit are you digging?
I'm digging the kindness of strangers because there's a GoFundMe running right now to help me cover some medical bills for my dog who was attacked while I was at E3. She's recovering, but her bills are quite high, and you guys have been just absolutely amazing with donations to help me pay for everything. So fucking kindness of strangers, man. I'm fucking digging that shit.
And like you said, it's still running, so if there's anyone out there who wants to help, then I'll put the link in the show notes for this episode.
It's real easy. Just go to electricsisterhood.com/nugget, and it'll take you right to the GoFundMe to help my little nugget. If you want to help my little nugget and me, it would be appreciated. So with that, it's time, people. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time, folks,
stay classy. Eat marshmallows.